So I'm making my biggest plea tonight. It'll make you, and I'm not doing it for this reason at all. It'll guarantee the midterms. It'll guarantee the midterms. If you don't get it, big trouble, my opinion. If you get this, your midterms, and they know it. For two reasons. Number one, they won't be able to cheat. And number two, the people are demanding it. Every time I go out, Save America, sir, Save America Act. We want the Save America Act, sir. That's all they talk about. They don't talk about housing. They don't talk about anything. That's what they talk about. And if you send it up there, you're going to win the midterms at levels that you can't even believe. And you're going to win every election for a long time until somebody really screws things up, and hopefully that won't happen.
That was Donald Trump from this past week telling a gathering of Republicans that if they pass the Save America Act, Republicans, will win the midterms. Well, Trump also claimed that the SAVE Act is all that you and the rest of the American public is talking about. Affordability, education, housing, price of gas, price of oil, price of groceries, you're not concerned about any of that. But getting back to what Trump said, that how the SAVE America Act would serve Republicans in the midterms, is it fair to say that Trump is basically saying that Republicans would win if fewer people were voting? Well, at least in theory, that's what the Save America Act has the potential of doing. It requires voters to provide documentary proof of citizenship at the time of registration, a photo ID at the time of voting. It's passed by the House of Representatives February. It's not sure whether it's going to make it through the Senate. They're trying this past week, and there's a whole talk about the filibuster being in the way. You've probably been hearing a little bit, at least, about that. Let's look at the Save America Act as in the aspect of citizenship being a requirement to vote and instances of non-citizens voting. Well, that's rare for that to happen, but in effect, the Save America Act is introducing a documentation requirement for a law that's existed for decades. It's called the Illegal Immigration Reform and Immigrant Responsibility Act of 1996, told you it's been around for a while, which prohibits non-citizens from voting in federal elections. Period. End of case. Now, the Save America Act, it's amending the National Voter Registration Act of 1993 by introducing the requirement for people to provide proof of U.S. citizenship when registering to vote in federal elections. Registration voting by non-citizens, that's as part of a normal process investigated and prosecuted by the appropriate authorities, and there is no evidence that attempts to voting by non-citizens have ever been to the level that impacted the outcome of any elections, federal, state, or local. In fact, there's plenty of evidence to indicate registration and voting by non-citizens is far and few in between. Many state election offices are already using, it's called the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services Systematic Alien Verification for Entitlements Program, started using this process last year to verify voter citizenship, and records from this program reveal that just 0.04% of voter verification cases are returned as non-citizens. Now, when it comes to having documentary proof of citizenship, this is from the U.S. Department of State. Examples of primary citizenship evidence are a birth certificate, a passport, a consular report of birth abroad, a certificate of citizenship, or a naturalization certificate. And while real IDs are often assumed to be a reliable proxy for citizenship, they don't definitively establish citizenship. And although at least one of these documents are, again, in theory, available to most citizens, not everybody has them readily available. According to some recent studies, 9% of all eligible voters don't have or do not have easy access to documentary proof of citizenship. 52% of registered voters don't have an unexpired passport with their current legal name, and 11% of registered voters don't have access to their birth certificate. Speaking of birth certificates, they often lack information that matches a person's current identity. For example, Someone who has changed their name through marriage, for example, or court order, you might need to present a third document, like a marriage certificate, to join the proof of citizenship or birth certificate with their proof of identity, like a driver's license. So that further decreases the likelihood that a voter will have the appropriate documentation on hand to successfully register. And even if voters were to provide documentary proof of citizenship, verifying that it's all legit, that's not easy, to say the least, one that election officials and motor vehicle departments often don't have the resources or even the training to do. Now, you can say this is why the federal government needs to get involved with the administration of elections for the states. Just a small problem with this idea. I've probably said this before, but it looks like I need to say it again. It's Article 1, Section 4, Clause 1 of the U.S. Constitution, affectionately known as the Elections Clause, that assigns all oversight and administration of elections to the individual states. Now, this isn't to say that there are never illegal votes cast. There are. Here are a few examples. We have James Saunders. This is in 2023 in Ohio. He was convicted of two felony counts for voting twice in both the 2020 presidential election and 2022 midterms. In Minnesota, we have from 2024 Danielle Christine Miller. She was initially sentenced to jail time for voting in the 2024 presidential election using her deceased mother's name, but she got out of that. The judge told her instead to read a book about voting in the U.S. and write a book report. That's according to the court records. I'm not making that one up. Let's go to Pennsylvania, where Bruce Bartman was sentenced to 5 years probation after he admitted to illegally casting his dead mother's ballot in the 2020 presidential election. We have Jay Ketchik, John Ryder, and Joan Halstead in Central Florida. They were arrested for casting more than one vote during the 2020 presidential election. They all live in the Villages in Sumter County, Florida. They were looking at felony charges up to 5 years in prison for casting more than one ballot in the presidential race. One more, Barry Morphew. That's the husband of a Colorado woman who's been missing for more than 2 years. He pled guilty to casting her mail-in ballot during the 2020 presidential election. All those examples I just told you about, what do they all have in common when it came to casting illegal votes? They were all casting illegal votes for Donald Trump.